Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Packers fans worldwide, we're here for you, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. 365 here at Cheesehead TV. Even when there's not a ton of news to talk about, we're still going to be talking green and gold. We're still going to be talking Packers football, including the Packers' decision not to exercise the fifth-year option on Quay Walker. Rob Domofsky, the first to report it. Packers will still search out a way of keeping him in the fold over the course of the next year or so, heading into the final year of his rookie deal. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to pull the trigger on a fifth-year option that would have given him $14.7 million guaranteed in 2026, which at the moment would put him at like seventh or eighth as far as inside linebackers being paid. The issue, of course, is the fact that the inside backers are grouped in with the edge rushers to form just the linebacker group when it comes to the fifth-year option, which drives up the number. We talked about this pretty much all offseason. I was pretty sure they would not go this route, not utilizing a fifth-year option, simply because clearly Quay Walker has not exactly lit the world on fire in his kind of first tenure, first 3 years in a Green Bay Packers uniform. However, I do buy what Gutekunst is selling when he talks about wanting to make sure that they do keep him around long term. Now, what that looks like, did have a nice back and forth with Justice about it last week prior to the draft. Make sure you check out that video when we talked about Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. Justice seems to be of the opinion that they will end up on some four-year deal where he's averaging $15 million a year, which, yes, is a possibility. I think it looks much more akin to what they did with Jordan Love, giving him essentially a one-year extension to try and allow him to prove it, so to speak, here in 2025, and then hammer home something significantly bigger and more long-term next offseason. That's what my guess is. Now, they have a long time. They got this whole offseason, if they want to hammer that, kind of put that together and get that done before the start of training camp, which is what I would suspect they'd like to do. And look, there's no reason that they can't come to a long-term agreement such as it is sometime this season. Maybe they head into 2025's regular season without any kind of adjustment to Walker's deal. He plays, say, that first month and a half, and it looks like he's picking up where he left off essentially in 2024, because that's the key here. The fact that he did look like he was turning the corner and looked like he was really starting to get it in Halfley's defense before missing those four games. But then when he came back, certainly looked to pick up where he left off in that playoff game, playing alongside Edger and Cooper. I do think that is their feeling, that he is, you know, found a really good role in Halfley's defense and certainly seems to fit him a lot better than what he was being asked to do under Joe Barry. Certainly has a better running mate, a much more talented running mate in Edger and Cooper. I think the two of them together can really work well, and I think that's what the Packers are banking on. But again, I don't think they want to commit long-term, like a four-year deal, which would most likely essentially be a two-year deal, and then we'll see. But I think they want probably something more akin to what they did with Jordan Love. Give him an extra year of security while they figure out whether they can plop down a significant amount of money and or cap space on Quay Walker. And ultimately that's the key. Like, I don't care. I know a lot of people talk about average per year and all that stuff and what he's getting paid, even guaranteed money. I don't care about any of that. What I do care about is the cap hit and what that's going to look like with whatever adjustment they end up doing. So when the inevitable happens and you see the news that the Packers and Quay Walker have reached some kind of agreement, whether it is a short-term thing or a long-term thing, just remember that initial kind of reported number is really not that big a deal. It doesn't matter in the long kind of standing, the long term. It matters what the cap hits are for whatever extension gets in and ended up agreeing to. So that's what I'll be waiting for whenever that news hits. In the meantime, makes all the sense in the world not to pull the trigger on the fifth year option when it comes to Quay Walker. The Packers have smartly gone that route, and we will see now what transpires over the course of the rest of the offseason. As far as any other Packers news, the rookie minicamp starts tomorrow. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur early afternoon on Friday. I know the rookies will be made available to the media prior to the floor meeting with the media. So sometime before 1 Central, you'll start to get quotes from all the assembled rookies. And then they obviously have day 1 and 2 are Friday and Saturday prior to their mini break before reconvening the entire team for OTAs. So heading into a bit of a, you know, like I said, a lull, this slower part news-wise of the offseason, which means we're going to be ramping up some other types of content here at Cheesehead TV. If you were on Happy Hour last night, you heard me talk about this. We're going to be having some retro watch parties for our Patreon and Carry the G Club members. If you're interested, sign up. Patreon, all we ask is $5 a month. And on Carry the G Club on here on YouTube, it's $5 a month to become a Carry the G Club member. We have a happy hour every week. You get discount on merch, 10% on everything in the Cheesehead TV store. And like I said, we're going to start doing some retro watch parties where we take a old Packers game, very much at random, not a game that everyone knows and has seen a million times. Like the perfect example would be the Monday nighter against Washington, which I know is very exciting and everyone loves that game and everyone's seen it a million times. I'm going to be picking games that people have probably never seen or have forgotten about. And we're just going to sit down. We're going to watch it together as a community, because what the hell else are you going to do? Let's keep some Packers football in our lives during an offseason where you're going to hear a lot about dudes running around in shorts. And ultimately, a lot of it doesn't matter until the pads come on at Radnitsky Field later this summer. So we're going to be doing that throughout the offseason. Also, I'm going to be doing Madden Mornings, where I play a game of Madden on the Twitch channel each and every morning. So if you haven't subscribed to Twitch, make sure you do that, because that's going to start tomorrow. And then I'm going to do that pretty much every weekday morning. So Madden Mornings, we got the retro watch parties. Got all sorts of fun stuff coming up this offseason here at Cheesehead TV to keep Packers football in our lives a little bit outside of the updates of which guy in shorts is starting and which rookie is really turning it on and turning some heads and he could be in line for more playing time and then pads come on and everything changes. So just want to give you a heads up on that. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Joe is starting us off with a super chat. How you doing, man? Hope to see Quay and Coop together more in 2025. Man, from your super chat to the football god's ears, it was really hard watching both of them have these stretches last year where they were on the shelf while the other one was playing, and you kept waiting for the two of them to get together, especially after Cooper got on the field with some more regularity in the second half of the season. That's when Quay got hurt. I'm with you, man. We saw a little, you know, the first glimpse of it in that playoff game where I thought they played very well together. So yes, I'm with you, man. I'm very much excited to see these two working together in Halfley's defense. I think they got something there. I really do. Crash, thanks to the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, did you finish Daredevil? Season 2 will be fire. No, I didn't, Crash. I watched the first couple episodes and I kind of just bowed out. It's not my thing. I really loved the old version, this new version. I know people love it and are really into it, and Godspeed. It's not my cup of tea for a million different reasons that I'm not going to belabor here. But I know, like, my youngest daughter, Olive, fucking loves it. It is not my bag, but I know people like it, and I hope you all enjoy it. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Random retro game, 1998, week 3 versus the Bengals at Cincinnati. Play action pass pro and tight end down the middle over and over. Great low-scoring, low-key game. That's so funny, Brandy, because legit yesterday after I talked about it on Happy Hour, I got a message from Soder putting in his request for games to watch. People, this is the point. I know I'm taking games that people don't remember or haven't seen. I will ultimately, I'm sure throughout the offseason, get to some requests. But the whole point of it is, like, no, you go in not remembering what happens. But yes, I will put it on the docket, Brandy, just for you. Red, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Rookies don't choose their number, correct? I think they have input at times. I think it depends. I know it's usually they are assigned, but I do think sometimes guys will be asked and or are allowed to give a request slash input. I will say 99. That is an awesome number for a rookie to get. I will That is my addition to the rookie number discourse. Because, man, people have opinions about numbers. Wow. I mean, I guess I'm just old, I guess, because I don't really care. I will say 99 is baller, though. You see, here we go. Rob Kress. Random Packer game, 2000 versus Eagles. We win 6-3. See, but you remember. And I know it's going to be hard to not know on a lot of these games. I get it. But it'd just be more, kind of engaging, I would think, if it was like some random game in 1982 that no one remembers, you know, win or lose. Let's see what we got. Oh, Mr. Tundra. Yes, of course. Watch Andor Nags. Saw the first three new episodes. Maybe the best Star Wars themed show. Oh, Mr. Tundra, let me tell you something. It is the best Star Wars period since Empire Strikes Back. And that, I do not say that lightly. Anybody who's known me for a long time, at least about my love of Empire Strikes Back, will tell you that that is high praise. And man, just wait till you get to the next three episodes. It's outstanding. I love it. And I can't believe next Tuesday is our last bit of it. The last three episodes, next Tuesday. I can't believe we were originally going to get five seasons, and now we only get two. But that's the way it is. But maybe that's what makes it so good. They crammed it all in. Nick, thanks for for checking out the stream on Facebook. Hey, Nags, what's your breakdown of draft pick Savion Williams? Well, if you'll remember, that was one of my draft crushes because I love his potential. I love his long-term potential to be a legit playmaker in the NFL. And I know you've probably seen a lot of people going through his college tape the last couple of days, talking about the inconsistent hands, which are certainly on display. But I see a very raw clump of clay that the Packers can mold, and I think they will. I don't doubt for a moment that they will utilize him in a lot of different ways. That is something that was obviously a calling card at TCU. They ran him out of the backfield. They put him in the slot. They put him on the perimeter. They used him as, you know, all over the map, right? And I think there will be some of that in Green Bay, but I also think they want to make him into a wide receiver. And I think the clay is there. The raw tools are all on display. He's got a lot to learn when it comes to running routes in the NFL, reading coverages, breaking things down, being a lot more consistent with his hands, not turning his head before he secures the football. Some of it's basic, some of it's high level. There's a lot to work on, obviously. But I keep seeing people talk about what he did in college. And that's not the eval for me anyway. It's about what can he do in the NFL? Where is he going? Also, tell me what he can do, not what he can't do. I mean, these are all cliches, but they're cliches for a reason, because they are true. The Packers, I don't think, are looking at a guy who has limitations. I think you see a guy who has all sorts of possibilities. And I do think it's going to take a bit. And I know there's going to be some frustrations along the way. But I think he can be a really special player, given the gifts that he has at his disposal. Now, some of this is, yes, coaching, but a lot of it is going to be down to him, how hard he works at it, how badly he wants it, because I think the sky is the limit, and I do think he could be a very, very good NFL player. Long way to go, though. First steps here this weekend at the start of rookie minicamp. Abdul, how you doing, man? Hey, Aaron, over under 6 sacks for LVN. Ooh, can I push? I think 6 is the number, right? I'll say under just, but I'll also say, well, give me 5 sacks on the season, but give me a ton of pressures as well. I do think he starts to turn the corner this year. I think he'll affect the quarterback more than we've seen him do these last 2 years. I don't expect him to explode for double-digit sacks, though. I'd love it. I obviously would welcome it, but I'll go with 5. That's where I'll go. Soder, how are you, man? But I remember so much of it. For a large portion of it, I was sitting on the couch looking like Malcolm McDowell in A Clockwork Orange while he was being conditioned. Soder, I feel you, brother. I mean, anybody who sat through those years was probably feeling like that. Ryan, thanks for the super chat, man. I wouldn't pick the Monday Night Football game, that game that the fridge ran over the defense for a TD. Whoo, baby. I remember that game like it was yesterday. That was a very depressing time to be a Packers fan. The whole kind of run for the Bears where they had Peyton, obviously, and McMahon, and then the fridge comes on the scene, and yes, in front of a national audience, they have the fridge barreling through the Packers defense for a touchdown. Those are rough times, man. I probably won't pick that game. You can count on that. Although I might pick a game, one of the Forrest Gregg Ditka games where things get really out of hand. Those are kind of fun, actually. And they're not fun in the sense of like, no, you don't want anybody to get hurt. Yeah, the dirty stuff you don't condone. But man, there are some hilarious hits in some of those games. There's one in particular at Lambeau where I don't remember what exact year it was, but there's a play where like Walter Payton gets tackled, you know, a few yards. It's a minimal gain, whatever. And there's a Bears, I think it's a wide receiver, standing over kind of the scrum, right? Just completely disengaged from the play, not actively trying to do anything other than just standing there watching it. And all this, the whistle has blown. And some Packers player comes screaming off from off screen and just clobbers the guy. I mean, it is so late. And it was like, that was Packers Bears in the 80s. It wasn't pretty. It was sad. It was depressing. But also on those kind of moments, it was kind of hilarious. It really kind of was. Badger Wolf, what's going on, man? Never forget you gifting me Madden 24. Thanks, Nags. Plenty of battles in some spots where we already had talent. Any favorite position battles you can't wait to see? Well, Badger, first of all, thanks for the kind words, and I hope you enjoyed that copy of Madden. If I get codes again this year, let me know. I'll shoot it out there, guys, and let you know if I have some to give away. Any favorite position battles you can't wait to see? Offensive line. I mean, especially now with the Belton addition, and then Banks being kind of obviously the starter there at left guard, that kind of ramps up the intensity for the right guard battle, right? And left tackle. I mean, they keep talking. Jordan Morgan's going to have an opportunity to battle Rashid Walker. I think those reps in camp are going to be so precious. And obviously the preseason will have a say as well. I think, you know, when you talk about wide receiver, I know there's going to be a lot of excitement around that, but I do think they're not going to just force Matthew Gold and Savion Williams into the rotations. They're going to bring them along slowly. And I don't doubt for a moment that they're going to have moments, but I don't think it's going to be much of a battle. I think offensive line, there are jobs on the line, right? And because of the physical nature of it, I think those pads will be popping this summer, and I'm really excited to watch that, like no doubt about it. Oh, that's John. What's up, man? Yeah, I mean, this is a perfect example of a game everyone would remember. Probably the opposite intent, but Monday night, OT, Antonio Freeman off the shoulder, walk off TD. Yes, that will not be one of the games we watch. Although, amazing game. Although, I think, you know, people probably forget how tough some of that game was to watch, especially for the Packers on offense, because of the miracle ending. A lot of that kind of gets forgotten. But, man, I'll never forget where I was. My buddy Luke's apartment down in Brooklyn. That's one of those everyone remembers exactly where they were when they saw it. No doubt about it. Matt Suey blasted by Packers DB whose name escapes me. That was it, Mike. Thank you. That's 100% it. That's right up there with the play where I also can't remember who it was, but somebody tackles Walter Payton on the sideline and then drives him like into the bench and over the bench. Oh, all-timers. Now, that was Forrest Gregg football in Green Bay. Yes, Martin was the dude who body slammed McMahon after the interception. That, to me, is probably my low point of watching the Green Bay Packers in my life. I remember never being more embarrassed. And look, there were a lot of things to be embarrassed about when it came to the Green Bay Packers in the 80s. But that moment when Charles Martin slammed McMahon into the Soldier Field turf, that's a low point for me, especially personally as a Packers fan, being so, you know, in love with the team, but being so ashamed and embarrassed by the team, especially during the Forrest Gregg years. But that play in particular is probably the low point for my Packers fandom. I've never been more embarrassed to be a Packers fan than that exact moment. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Good has brought in a lot of guys on the O-line between this year and last by committee, or the strongest survives. Well, look, if there's a staff that has shown they're not afraid to move guys around, regardless of, well, okay, this is our set five to start with, but oh, maybe we make a change week to week. Even this staff has shown they're unafraid to pull a trigger like that. But I do think they want to, as Matt always says, get their best five out there. And that's the hope coming out of camp. I do think the most likely scenario is Walker wins that left tackle job. Jordan Morgan wins the right guard job. And your line is Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Morgan, and Zach Tom. That's my suspicion and my expectation heading into camp, but we'll see. You never know. Guys jump up all the time. Nags, why doesn't Golden keep number two? I suspect he didn't want it. He probably wanted 22, which is what he is, number 22. Kind of crazy. Ryan Willie, what's up, man? The instant replay game? See, again, one everyone remembers. Man, these are going to be random games that you guys do not remember. That is the whole point. Everyone remembers the instant replay game. Although it is funny, I think most people probably remember the end of the instant replay game with not a lot of memory about everything that preceded it. So the 80s Packers were crashing out. Jay, you have no idea. You have no idea. It was so bad. Rai, this is an interesting question. Do you think LaFleur and Goody have been in total lockstep since 2019? Where do you think they've likely disagreed most? Example, roster cut, scheme, player acquisition, etc. I think they've been pretty much in lockstep. I do think we joke about it on Transplants, right? The triangle and the break in the triangle when it comes to Goody and Matt both reporting to Mark Murphy. You know, I think for the most part, yes, they have been. But it does feel like every once in a while, there's a bit of a disconnect with what Gutekunst and the personnel staff are handing the coaching staff and then what the coaching staff does with said personnel. Not to say, like, I'm sure they discuss all of it, right? The scheme, what the cuts will be, who they're going to look at in the draft and what they will produce from said draft, etc. But yeah, every once in a while, it does feel like maybe they're a bit at odds, especially, again, with what the personnel group provides to how the coaching staff goes about utilizing it. But for the most part, you know, I think some friction is good. You want, you know, you don't want everybody kumbaya. You want some, you know, ability to push each other. I mean, hell, that's what Corey and I do at Cheesehead TV. And it ain't always, you know, roses and rainbows. But yeah, I think for the most part, it feels like they're in a good spot. Let's put it that way. Yeah, here we go. Now, Larry's got it. Definitely need a county stadium mud game. My first game was in Milwaukee around 1970. Might have been the Lions on Thanksgiving. Larry, definitely need a county stadium mud game. That is a great call. See, but that's all. Like, just county stadium mud game covers a lot of games, right? Like, it could be a whole vast array of old school Packers games could fit that bill. I'm in on that. I like that a lot. Joe, thanks again, man. Davante Adams and Dontavian Wicks had similar second seasons. Third season of the charm? Man, I know the Packers hope so. And look, I know that's been a popular talking point, especially last year, given all the struggles that Wicks had catching the football. And there's no doubt, yes, Davante certainly had a rough second year. I think some of that is maybe a bit overblown. I know there were obviously big-time frustrating moments with Davante, but he also had some really productive games and like moments that he showed kind of that talent, that tantalizing talent that you thought, God, if this kid ever puts it together. With Wicks, I mean, he didn't get a ton of opportunities, so that kind of limits the ability to show that off. We saw it in camp last summer. We saw it a lot in camp. But man, during the regular season, any kind of glimpse of that big-time talent that we saw throughout the summer in training camp really never materialized in season. There was a few kind of catches here or there, moments, but man, more often than not, it was just the frustrating drops, right? So I hesitate to make the direct Davante Wicks comparison, but I will say it does kind of underline how just because a guy has a rough second year doesn't mean he can't put it together, doesn't mean he can't improve. And I do think he will. I do think he's just, you know, obviously got to be a lot more consistent, a lot more fine-tuned, And then I think, yeah, he's got to get on the field more and get more opportunities. And I have to think with Watson being out for much of the year, he should get those opportunities earlier this season. And hopefully he does something with them because they need him. Absolutely. What else we got here, folks? Right. When did you know Favre had what it takes to be elite? Oh, man. Took a while, I'll say that. I don't know, man. The only other thing was, like, back then, it wasn't this waiting on, oh, you got to show us, or like, oh, he's got to be XYZ. It was just Brett was fun to watch and frustrating to watch, and the team was getting better every year and kind of marching upwards and onwards. But even the year before they won the Super Bowl, you know, there were still some real boneheaded plays and some really bad interceptions. The difference was we had been so bad for so long. People were still all in on Brett being the guy. Like, even with all the dumb mistakes, it was just, that's our quarterback. That's our guy. Because we had never known winning. We had never known seasons where, wow, we're not only going to the playoffs, we got a chance here. Like, it just wasn't in the cards in Green Bay for two decades, right? So, yeah, I don't ever remember a specific moment where it was like, oh, this is the guy to lead us to the promised land. It was just, he's our guy. I mean, that's when, you know, Cliff Kristol has written about this. Like, without him, they don't probably resurrect this franchise in a way that you know it now. Now, Brett's insanely important in the kind of pantheon of Packers history in more ways than just the numbers. Yeah, winning gambler, 1,000% correct. Favre was on the verge of getting benched 3 years in. There's a very famous NFL film soundbite of Mike Holmgren ready to pull him middle of the game because he was doing dumb shit. And that's why I keep, and that's probably what informs my patience with Jordan Love, right? I understand people get so frustrated and they're ready to move and make a move, etc. But man, he's got all the talent. He's got all that talent and promise. I get some of the decision-making and some of the playmaking or attempted playmaking can get frustrating at times, but there's a really good fucking quarterback in there with Jordan Love. He's got to be patient. Ooh, Nags, does salary cap space carry over to the next year? Jair, for example, if we cut that $17 million, do we have that additional space added to the cap limit for the next season? A really rudimentary answer is if they cut him before June 1st, I believe they save $7 million on the cap after June 1st. It gets kind of divvied up. I think if they were to do it, they would want to do it before June 1st and take all the pain now and have them off the books next year, would be my guess. Yeah, Favre, elite arm, not elite decision maker. You are right. Dean, random game, Packers beating the Bears? I mean, back in the day, maybe. That would be random, no doubt about it. Brandy, look at this. Fritz Schirmer throwback 90s Packers windbreaker would be fire. You know where I don't know if it was a particular Fritz Schirmer, but they had one of those 90s starter jackets that those guys, the coaching staff, wore on the sidelines at this vintage shop in Manhattan last year. And I didn't get it because at the time I was kind of skint and I didn't want to spend the money. But man, I got to get back there and find it because it was hot as hell. Oh, Tulio, best Mikowski memory. We're going down memory lane here. Man, you know, everyone's going to say, or not everyone, but everyone remembers the instant replay moment. Obviously, it was a monster kind of game moment, etc. I'll always remember there was a stretch where he and Sterling were on a tear, right? And the Post Crescent had a picture of them on the bench where Sterling was sitting on the bench and Magic was kind of leaning in, and they had a shot from the side of the two of them clasping hands. And I was like, finally, like, we have our guys. And then they both get hurt and everything changed. But man, Magic was fun to watch. You talk about a guy who had a ton of escapability, plays on the run. I mean, shades of Aaron Rodgers. I'm serious when it comes to making plays outside the tackle box. Now, obviously, Rodgers did it at an insanely high level, but there were shades of that with Magic, and it was tons of fun. No play was ever done and dusted until either he was down or he had thrown the ball. He was a lot of fun to watch. Mike, thanks for the super chat, man. Favre versus Eagles. Cunningham guaranteed the win. Reggie landed hard on Favre. Rally win at the end. It's an all-timer. Reggie talks about that, or talked about that game in his decision-making process to come and join the Packers. That is, again, probably a game a lot of people remember, but it's an awesome game. It is an awesome game. Nicholas, thanks again, man. Random game, Jonathan Franklin, 100-yard game. Now, that's a good one. I don't think a lot of people remember that. I don't think a lot of people probably, or maybe not a ton of people, remember Jonathan Franklin. But that's a good pull. All right, buddy, I have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Like I said earlier, make sure you're subscribed on the Twitch channel. I'll be playing Madden in the morning, Madden mornings, starting tomorrow. And then, yeah, sign up on Patreon or Carry the G Club here on YouTube. We'll be starting our retro watch parties next week. So be sure you're checking in there for all the information. In the meantime, please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.